Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today. You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome. Top of the morning.
A top of the morning to you.
Yeah.
Hopefully everybody's having a swell Monday for this. You had, oh wait, it's actually Labor Day.
Oh yeah. So nobody's even listening to this episode.
No, I'm listening to this episode. All my hard work for nothing. Yeah. So happy Labor Day to you. If you're listening on Tuesday instead of Monday, happy Tuesday. Hopefully you had a day off. If you didn't, then whatever. Then you probably listened Monday. Do you have any Labor Day plans, Gretchy?
I'm just flying by the seat of my pants still. I cannot. It's very irritating for all the people in my life, but I really cannot commit to anything because I don't know.
Yeah.
Still getting caught up on life. I went to back to school night last night.
Uh-huh.
My first time for the junior high school students.
Is that like curriculum night or?
Bullshit is what it is.
That's what happens.
You go from class to class. I thought I really
Oh, yeah, it's curriculum.
I thought you really have to go to this because you're going to meet all the teachers. You don't meet them.
They tell you what they're going to do.
Yeah, they're going to work them. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they
tell you, use this app to communicate with us and, you know, we'll have a dialogue about your child, et cetera. And I'm looking around and I'm like, no, we're not. Look at how many parents are here.
Yeah.
And you've got six classes like this.
Dude, that's a lot.
I'm going to be lucky if you know my kid's name.
Yeah, they definitely don't know your name.
Yeah, they definitely don't know my name. Mine snuck out a little early. It's really hard. I figured nobody would notice because I have twins. So it's not like it was really possible for me to go to all the classes. And it was such a long day.
Yeah, it's fine.
We also had our first day of hula.
Oh, fun. Mm-hmm. When you told me hula, mm-hmm. I was actually thinking hula hooping. I think because you always talk about that girl that hula hoops in her front yard.
Oh, my neighbor across the street. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was getting confused, but okay, so she's actually doing hula, like the hula dance.
Yeah, like that's the cool. Hula dance. All different Polynesian dances, actually.
Great, that's so fun.
Uh-huh, it's good exercise.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to actually
shake those little hips of yours.
That's right. I only laugh at you thinking it's hula hooping because my children have my athletic ability, which is probably why we try unconventional things like hula, because we're not making like the tennis team anytime soon.
Okay.
But yeah, they can't hula hoop like to save their life either, just like me.
I'm sure your neighbor can give them some lessons.
No, it doesn't. She's tried. It doesn't go anywhere. We are really a unique brood. We make up for it in our charming personalities.
It's true. I one time bought one of those weighted hula hoops.
Yeah.
You know. I'm a good hula hooper, just to let you know.
Yeah, we all know.
Now you do. So I also have curriculum night. That's what they call it around these parts this week. And I usually also miss these because I don't know why. I think I get the memo.
You've been to one and so you know that it's stupid.
But I think I'm going to make them all this year.
Okay.
Or at least two out of the three. I'm not promising three for three, but at least two.
Okay.
I'll be good. The carpal situation, if anybody is wanting to know, it's been lovely. It's a great.
Oh, you've been making it on time. No one's mad at you yet.
Oh my God. You guys,
no little passive aggressive comments.
Holy shit. I've been on time. I am not an on time person. If anybody knows me, I think we've talked about this before. Like they just have to know that I'm not ever on time to anything, but I have been making it on time in the morning because I feel this pressure because I don't
like
know these people.
Yeah, I like it. That's good for you.
I know. It's really is and isn't at the same time.
No, what is interesting about you as someone that has known you for a minute is that you will say like, ooh, I think they were mad at me for this or blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, but I know you in the moment. You just act like, oh, everything is okay. Like, I wasn't, you know, but where I don't know.
Deep down inside, I know. And then I leave.
You know.
Like, I'm so sorry.
It does make you like try harder.
Yeah. It's so true.
It's good.
Yes. This week's been crazy, actually. Like an emotional roller coaster. I've run into a bunch of friends that have had some like emotional things and they all broke down at me at the gym, like all in one day.
At the gym?
Yeah. Which is...
That's not supposed to happen at the gym. Your endorphins are supposed to be going. You're supposed to be like,
no, it all
happy
happened
place.
In one day. I know. But I still keep going to the gym. So it's okay. I could be the gym therapist. And yeah, that's it. Nothing exciting other than carpool.
This week has been crazy for me as well. And I am in a little, it is giving me a little anxiety, let me tell you, because I belong to this very large group text.
Okay? Oh, yeah. And Gretchen doesn't do well with large group text messages.
No, I don't usually even participate that.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. And then, I mean, occasionally I will, but then there became a side group text that's about like half the size. And then I have a side on the side text of the side group text. And I'm so afraid. And those two
texts are funnier. I know what you're thinking.
I've been actually
texting the wrong group text.
That's right. That's right. I'm so afraid I'm going to get into trouble. Yes. And so I am like, I hate all these group texts. I hate all of them. And I feel like having all these side texts is kind of like some mean girl shit.
You got to name them a certain thing.
It happened the other day. I was texting, you know, you text me and it comes through on the little banner, but I'm still on the other text. So right. I'm about to write you back in my head, but it's still writing on the other text. I'm like, oh, this is like, you know what this is? This is playing with fire.
It is playing with fire. You sound actually like my daughter right now with her homecoming group text. It is. Okay. So I didn't realize this homecoming shit is, it never stops, you guys. It like obviously doesn't stop. You're 40 something years old and still having this like drama of
serious anxiety
stuff. Yeah. Yes. And anxiety. And I had no idea. Freshman homecoming was going to be such a big deal. The nice thing is my daughter wants to be inclusive of everybody, but everybody means like 50 people going to dinner. And so, and then other people wanting to join and then getting their feelings hurt because there's too many people in the group already and yada, yada. I was like, oh, it never ends.
It never ends.
It never ends. We're in this for life, you guys. This is just being a woman, I think.
Yeah. And the truth is, I really only like four people.
The truth is, they probably only really like four people too. Okay. Well, let's get to our case of the week.
Okay.
Okay, Gretchy, we are going to Niles, Michigan this week. I am not very familiar with Michigan, except for I think it looks like a glove, right?
All right. It's got all those Michigan. Great lakes.
It does.
I hear beautiful things about Michigan.
I do too. I hear good and bad, but it's all the way up there and it feels really cold. So
you know, those lakes are like crazy.
Oh, like oceans.
Like oceans. Yeah. You got to be a real boater to be up there. It's a real deal.
Yeah. I mean, you could move there and not even know you weren't on the ocean.
Yeah. I could handle it. I don't think you could because it's chilly.
Too cold. Yeah, you don't mind that.
Tab doesn't fare well below like 60.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Gretchen's tried to take me on plenty of trips where I'm like, it's like if it's getting below 57,
it's not working.
I'm
out
fully out. Like even if it's
at night while we're sleeping sometimes.
No, yeah, I'm out. Yeah. Although yeah. Oh my god, I left the air conditioning on yesterday at my house and my husband almost had a fucking conniption. So
oh, we all are in that same battle. You know what? I can't wait till the temperature actually evens out a little bit. I don't want to brag, but just like I don't have an ice maker in my refrigerator, I don't have air conditioning throughout my house. But
you also live on the beach.
Well, I also live on the beach. A lot of people don't. Anyways, I have a portable air conditioner, which is really a sexy accessory in my bedroom because my bedroom's upstairs and it's so damn hot.
Yeah, it gets hot there.
But I do love the like cool sleeping, but that thing is so awful loud.
I know.
That it's like, I just want to get back to where my ears don't hurt. And I appreciate the temperature outside.
You know, I also thought to myself, well, it's going to get cool soon. And then we're not going to have the air conditioning on at all. And so just, husband, just deal with my lack of remembrance to turn it off. You know?
Oh, you know how I rationalize spending sometimes too? This is a good hack. I say things, he doesn't always appreciate it, but I'm like, you know what? I know you don't like that we spent all that money on that trip, but our electric bill went down so much because we weren't home.
Yeah. I was actually thinking, I haven't been going to Starbucks lately.
So go on trips.
I'm sure the Starbucks was, you know, I haven't gone to Starbucks in 3 weeks. So.
Oh, God. Saving it. Save the world.
Dude, it's like $5 a day. Okay. Anyways, let's go back to Michigan.
Okay.
Michigan. Okay. Listen, the city of Niles was settled many years ago in 1827. It's an old town. The population is not very big, with not even 12,000 people. Has a medium household income of $42,181, and the median property value is $102,000. So the town probably is not the wealthiest of towns these days, but I'm not sure how it was in 1956 when Roxanne Wood was born. She was born April 15th, 1956, to parents Patricia and Dale Woods. Roxanne, I don't think, had the easiest childhood because from what I can find, her parents did get divorced, and her siblings say that she was kind of the rock of the family. Lots of people get divorced and have fine lives, so I think I'm not saying that she had an awful childhood. I'm just saying it wasn't like...
It does something to you. Sure.
Listen, I'm from a divorced family.
Yeah.
Twice over. So So, and I'm not all there. So.
100%.
Might be a little because some reason. I don't know. It is the reason that I never want to get divorced, though. So I'll tell you that.
All right. Here you are unpacking a little trauma. I see why everyone opens up to you at the gym.
I know, right? Oh, my God.
Okay.
But let me tell you something else. I might get divorced if I leave the damn air conditioner on again.
Oh, yeah. I understand that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Roxanne, awesome name, beautiful lady. I mean, beautiful. She loved to cook, bake. She loved her rose bushes. And most of all, she loved Bon Jovi, which with that kind of name, you better.
You need to. Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to find a like homely looking Roxanne. You're going to find a girl that, you know, she's living on a prayer.
Totally. I mean, if you name your kid Roxanne, she's going to be a wild child. Yeah. I just like that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
She graduated from high school and started working for her dad's company when she met Terry Woods, who was still in high school actually at the time, but he was, you know, a disco ball and he was on the wrestling team and Miss Roxanne fell for him right away. These two were two peas in a pod. Shortly after Terry graduated high school, they got married and Roxanne Wood became Roxanne Woods or vice versa. Something like that. But isn't that funny? Like she like dropped
she went
S
from
or
Wood
S.
to Woods. I feel like that's a bad high school name because it's like they probably said mean things. Like if you were, you know, had a terrible reputation, which I hope children are not as evil as they were when I was in high school, but they would say like Roxanne Wood
can get wood.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yes. This is probably true. These kids' words today, you know them?
Shizzle, McRigby, Ohio.
Riz.
Riz.
I'm like, I don't know.
I know. Yeah, I know. It's terrible. But I guess they have to come up with new stuff.
It's true. Okay.
But it's stupid. Ours were a lot cooler. We still use them.
Ours were so rad.
Do you think? I know. Do you think, exactly. I still use it. Do you think they're going to be saying shiz, Rigby, whatever, when they're 40?
Yes. No, I don't know.
Then they're stupid. Our kids are, yeah, it's a waste. Okay.
I don't know. Okay. Another real funny thing amongst the Woods family is Roxanne had a sister named Janet who married Terry's brother. And so she also went from Woods to Wood. I think it was Woods and then went to Wood. Roxanne also had three brothers, Jerry, Bruce, and Rick, and two younger half-brothers, Brian and Brad. So she came from a very large family. After Terry and Roxanne got married, Terry ended up working for the family business too, which I think maybe was just a little bit too much time together for them. Working, newly married, if you can imagine waking up and going to work with your husband, which you did. And lived on a boat with him. And I don't know, like you guys still made it. So you guys are probably two peas in a pod too.
Yeah. Yeah. We worked at kind of, I would say on the same boat, but in different departments.
It's still one boat.
I was on the galley. He's on the deck, you know, so it's not like he was telling me to like swap the deck or, you know, if anything, I told him what to do. Take out my damn trash deckie.
Yes. And by the way, also they had to sleep in one of those little compartments, Gretchen and her husband. Mm-hmm. In like a twin size bed together.
Well, he had a bigger, was designated a bigger bunk than me. He always says that's why I hooked up with him.
Oh,
she's not completely wrong because I wanted the better bunk.
Okay. With a full size instead of a twin.
It was a full size tab, actually.
Okay. So, Roxanne didn't really like being so close to Terry at work and at home and in bed like you. So she remedied that by getting a job in South Bend, Indiana to give them a little space.
Smart.
Janet, Roxanne's sister, told 48 Hours that it helped Terry and Roxanne's marriage and that they were like super content, very happy, and they looked forward to starting a family together. But all that would change, Gretch, on February 19th, 1987, when getting home from work, Roxanne and Terry decided to go to dinner. They drove separately because after dinner, Terry had a bowling league and he wanted to go bowling, obviously, because he needed to because he was in a men's league. And Roxanne was like, I'll come watch you, but I don't want to stay, you know, that late.
Sounds boring.
Bowling leagues?
No, bowling leagues sound awesome if you're participating and you get one of those cool shirts. But just going to watch? lame.
Yeah, but you know, bowling alleys are kind of fun. Like,
I mean, I guess you get a pitcher of beer.
You get some beer.
I just need a friend there. I don't want to watch just a bunch of, I'm not trying to hang out with watching a bunch of dudes.
Yes, right. So they drove separately. Roxanne walks into the bowling alley and all eyes were on her because, like I told you, she was a super disco biscuit. She always looked impeccable. She dressed to the nines and, you know, she was probably the only woman in there. Roxanne mm-hmm. stayed and watched bowling until close to midnight. So she did stay pretty late.
Okay. She found it entertaining.
Terry wanted to hang out with his buddies a little longer. So they said, you know, I love you. Drive safe. See you at home. And Terry stayed for another 45 minutes before heading home himself. Well, once Terry got home, he came into the house from the garage and he found a horrific sight. Roxanne was lying in a pool of blood on the floor. And her throat had been slashed. Her nightgown was pulled up and her underwear were pulled to her ankles. Mm. Terry ran over to Roxanne's body. He slipped on the blood when he was going to tend to her. He got behind her, picked up her head to see if she was still alive, but there were really no signs of life. Terry called the police right away and just was yelling, like, she's dead. She's been cut. And as the dispatcher kept asking Terry questions about Roxanne's condition, Terry started to get really angry. The dispatcher just said, hey, I'm going to get some information from you and I'm going to get a car started. Okay. And Terry just started yelling back like, no, get 50 fucking cars started. God damn it. Like now.
Okay.
Okay. That started kind of a back and forth between the dispatcher and Terry, and it made Terry feel very hostile towards the dispatcher. The dispatcher told Terry that they were en route and not to scream into the phone anymore because it distorted the audio. And Terry responded by basically saying that the only reason they wanted the audio was to, you know, record him. The dispatcher said, no, we're trying to get information. But, you know, he was really combative. This, I think, started some real red flags for Terry. Like, why was he so angry and not concerned?
Yeah, it's tricky, right? Because I understand that those reactions where you are just like, yeah, get me 50 effing cars. And why are we talking about the audio? Like, that,
this is bigger than the audio.
This is bigger than, yeah. And I understand, yeah. And a condescending dispatcher, I've listened to enough 911 calls. There's a million that are amazing, but there's a couple where it's like, lose the fucking attitude, bitch. And, well, yeah, you don't want to get it twisted.
Yes. And you know, that one dispatcher that wasn't believing that lady when she was outside the home of, remember the kids that dad like blew up the house?
Yeah.
And the lady was like, no, you don't understand. Like, the kids went in the house. He locked me out of it. You need to get somebody here. And the dispatcher was just such an idiot. Like,
yeah,
it's like, it's not that hard sometimes. Like, just get somebody out here. But I mean, even if they did with Roxanne's case, there was nothing that they could do.
Right.
Terry also was pretty emotional with like some rage and anger when the police arrived, which, you know, doesn't bid well for somebody. They saw him as so out of control that they had to put him in the back of the patrol car. Mm. They then took him down to the station, which is routine, you know, to ask him questions.
Sure.
And immediately Terry lawyered up, which casts even more suspicions on him, to the point where the detectives were like, you did this, we know it, and you will pay. Well,
which again is hard because, I mean, I don't know the story, but it is smart to
lawyer up.
I know. But I do understand it casting suspicious. I do get suspicious of those people, even right. though I agree it is the smarter decision.
I know. All of it. I know.
Yeah.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year's special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns investing. Involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor has been bugging me about. Get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC.
While back at the crime scene, investigators were gathering information from the scene that also didn't help Terry's case. The house had no signs of forced entry, so it certainly is easy to assume that he was the one that attacked Roxanne. Terry told police that they had been having issues with their back door, and so it wasn't locking. So that's probably where the person came in, but detectives really weren't buying it. It sounded just too convenient. Crime scene analysis did find a knife sheath for a fillet knife near Roxanne's body, but it came out of their kitchen drawer.
Oh.
So according to detectives, most killers bring their murder weapon with them. So it's real odd that there's something that they would use from their own kitchen. The fillet knife that fit that sheath was never found, but so it was presumed that it got tossed or hidden somewhere, you know, before the police were called, I guess. But it also is presumed that that is what cut Roxanne's throat. Also, the scene told a different story than what Terry said. Remember, he said that he lifted her head to check for signs of life and he slipped on the blood. Well, they didn't see any smear marks where, you know, he could have slipped on the blood. So they didn't think that that was really, you know, his story was really ringing true. Besides the physical evidence not adding up, as detectives probed Terry and Roxanne about their lives, they did find out more eyebrow-raising information. both Terry and Roxanne had been having some affairs. Mm-hmm. Which, you know what we say.
Don't cheat.
This cheating thing is not...
Get you dead.
It gets you dead.
Yeah.
Despite the infidelity and Terry's rage that had been directed at police, the district attorney didn't have enough evidence to charge him for Roxanne's murder. There was plenty of DNA left at the crime scene, but technology in 1987 was, you know, different than it was or is today. So they didn't really have a way to identify or eliminate any suspects. As police did investigate the small amount of evidence that they had, there just wasn't any leads or discovery from it. So months went by, then years started adding up. The DNA, however, was preserved and filed away, thank goodness. Roxanne's family really never gave up looking for Roxanne's killer. And despite the doubts of his innocence, the family never, ever thought Terry did it. However, let me tell you, the whole entire town did, right? Roxanne's sister, Janet, who was married to Terry's brother, I mean, was a huge supporter of Terry. She told 48 Hours that he was never a violent person. He may have been sharp tongue, but never rageful. So they just didn't believe it was Terry. He had a squeaky clean record before and after Roxanne's murder, but this cloud of suspicion hung over him for years and years and years. He would go, I mean, the town's small, right? So people talk, and he would go to the bar or to work parties or whatever. And he was always called Slash.
Well, it is hard to imagine that someone who does not have a violent history would use a knife. I mean, anyone, your Joe Schmo, I think could kill somebody with a gun. But you know, that is like a different form of violence. Yeah. So I could see his family standing
by him.
Yeah.
So by 1999, Roxanne's case was ice cold. There had been no leads, no arrests, no justice for her family in 12 years. But DNA technology had evolved, and they did have some semen that was recovered from the crime scene that they entered into the criminal DNA database, CODIS, to see if they could get a hit. However, there were no matches. But since this technology could now compare, you know, what they found at the crime scene to any known suspects like Terry, they tested it against Terry's DNA. No match. However, this detective, Lieutenant Chuck Christensen, was still not buying it. He said, just because you find semen in somebody doesn't necessarily mean that that person isn't the one that killed them. Which, listen, I mean, sure, she could have had sex with a guy she was banging, I guess, earlier, or, you know, the affair guy. But you would think that he would also have been a suspect, and they could have, like,
yeah.
So I don't know. I'm in the field of, actually, I think that it probably is the person that killed her, since they found her with her panties around her ankles, her dress up. Like, there was sexual assault in this case. So let's go with that.
And there was such a small window of time, right? I mean, she just
40, not even 45 minutes, because she had to have driven home. So I think that was like 13 minutes or something
so
like that.
So she would have had to bang someone in the bowling alley bathroom. It doesn't make sense. Yeah.
So Roxanne's case continued to sit on the shelf 5 years, 10 years, 20 years before a professor and a super smart group of students at Western Michigan University stepped in to take a look at this case. Dr. Ashlyn Kurtzen is a professor of criminal justice studies at Western Michigan, and she had been telling Detective Christensen for years that her students and her could help solve these cases. These cold cases, but the police department just kind of never took her up on the offer. They kind of said, well, you need more of a plan, which, you know, sometimes I think it's probably multiple things, but it's like wrapping your head around something like that and doing it and putting a plan together is probably feels very hard. But, and that's what Detective Christensen said, like, hey, there needs to be more of a plan. So they actually did it. And they came up with a plan, and this Roxanne's case was taken over. It had 3,500 pages of documents that were paid, like, not on computers, you know? This is from 1987.
Yeah.
So just physical paperwork. So the students at Western Michigan took all these papers and they digitized them into a database where detectives could search by name, cross-reference things, cross-reference people that were interviewed or not interviewed, and they could track something if they needed to follow up on it. I mean, the age of technology is pretty amazing. And also with this AI stuff that's coming up, I have a feeling they will be able to really kind of hone in on some of these cold cases and figure out who did them or who was a likely suspect, or even, you know, just because it's hard when there's so much data, right?
Yeah.
To comb through and to remember and to be like, oh yeah, we interviewed that guy, you know, like 2 minutes after the scene of the crime, but we didn't interview him again. And then now he's done this, this, and this, but we don't even know about it. But like with AI, they'll be able to get all that information within seconds. This is my future predictions.
Okay.
So Roxanne's case was reopened in 2020 after the files had all been organized. And since it had been 20 years since the last time that DNA had been examined, they wanted to retest it again. The only problem was the sample was already 12 years when they tested it in 1999. And by 20 years or 2020, the sample was like 35 years old. So the magic of technology, Michigan State Police submitted the evidence to a genetic genealogy company based in actually California called Identifiers. It's run by Dr. Colleen Fitzpatrick. She had the ability to create a DNA profile with like incredibly small amount of DNA. She refers to the sample size of Roxanne's case as a gnat's eyebrow of DNA.
Wow.
It was only about 3% of what they usually have to work with in solving these cases. They were not able to create a profile even after 10 months of working on the data. Identifiers were not able to create a profile even after 10 months of having this data. They were like losing hope. But then a genetic genealogist named Gabriela Vargas, who was a consultant for the Identifiers, stepped in. She looked at the data and determined that she could actually solve it. She was able to create a profile from trace amounts of this DNA, which this is like some crazy stuff to me, like real smart people.
Yeah.
They had just some remaining other DNA that she kind of put all together. And first she narrowed the contributors down to race, which was a Caucasian. Then she entered the profile into an online DNA service called GED Match. And this is when people submit their like genealogy from Ancestry or 23andMe. You can opt into this GED match, which allows like law enforcement to see matching of people that you may be related to that have done something terrible. Have you done that?
No, but I plan to someday. Not that I care about that because I don't want to know them.
So it really, like, it's kind of a really weird thing to think about, right? Because you can help crack cold cases.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think people are really nervous about it because they're like, oh my God, what if my dad killed somebody or something?
I think
like
people
that.
Are really nervous about it because they're like, I don't want them to know any crimes I may or may not commit in the future. My motivation for wanting to do it is because I acknowledge that like, I gave up embryos for adoption.
Right.
And so I want them to be able to find me.
Yeah. And they will.
Yeah. So I'm not afraid of like being fingered for a crime.
Yeah, I'm not either. And this stuff goes back. I mean, when I look at my 23andMe, you guys, I don't know. I know like my little tiny bubble of people that have done it around me, but I don't know all these cousins from God knows where, you know, it takes you really far back to people that you don't know. And so yeah. The chances of like, you know, Bob Smith, you even knowing that like Bob Smith did a crime, they got him. They maybe found him through your DNA, but you have nothing to do with it. You probably wouldn't even know that Bob Smith is in prison now for life, you know? So I do think it's a good thing. And thankfully, Gabrielle was able to find a match in this GED match. But dude, she had to start building this family tree from way back, from 1823. And then on one side of the family was all the way back from like 1797. So once she was able to find what they say is like a union couple, which two sides of the family tree meet. This actual person's union couple was in 1920. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't know these people. From that, they came to assume that this person would have had kids around 1940, 1950. And that union couple that she identified had three sons. One of them would be Roxanne's killer. She provided these names to the detectives, who immediately did background checks on these three brothers. Two were eliminated right away, and one was not. His name was Patrick Gillum. Patrick had a record. He had a history of violent crimes involving sexual deviancy. He was a heavy drinker and drug user, and he just lived a few miles away from Roxanne and Terry's house in Niles.
Busted.
As the detectives dug into his past, they learned that he had actually attacked another woman in 1979 in Gary, Indiana, 8 years before Roxanne's murder. Robert and Maureen Forag lived in a home in Gary, raising their two young daughters. Robert was an economic director for the city of Maureen, for the city, and Maureen was an art teacher at the middle school. That September, Robert had gone on a business trip. He called Maureen before coming back to ask her to leave the side door open because he didn't have his keys with them, and it was late when he would be getting home. Before Robert got home, Maureen went upstairs to go to bed, and while she was lying in bed, she heard noises downstairs. So she crept down the stairs and saw a man going through her purse. She scared him, but instead of him running out the door, he chased her up the stairs. He grabbed her, got on top of her, and started to assault her. Thankfully, he wasn't able to rape her, but it was still super traumatic. Maureen stayed really quiet, like quiet as a mouse when this was happening, because she didn't want to wake her two little girls up. As Robert turned onto the street around 11 o'clock, he was met by police cars. He rushed inside to find his wife, Maureen, shaken up, but still alive. And this police didn't have any leads on who attacked Maureen, but about a week later, Gary police pulled over Patrick Gillum for a traffic violation, and the officer noticed on his passenger seat were Maureen's credit cards. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So they took him in for questioning, and he told the detectives, "All I remember is going into that house. I blacked out. I woke up with my pants around my ankles." It's like, okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We believe that. So Patrick was charged with burglary and unlawful deviant conduct, which he pled guilty to, and he received a 14-year sentence in the Indiana State Prison. Maureen and Robert ended up moving to a new neighborhood, and per Robert, Maureen never told anyone about that incident. She also passed away in 2018 from cancer without knowing, you know, that her case was connected to Roxanne's at all. Patrick was in the slammer for 7 years, and he was paroled in November of 1986, just 4 months before Roxanne was brutally raped and murdered. So 34 years later, police finally had Patrick in their sights as a suspect, but they actually have to like get his DNA to compare it, right?
Right.
So they went undercover, which I just freaking love.
They go get his straw from McDonald's.
That's what I was thinking.
Do. Yeah, I love it when they do that.
I do. So this this was similar to that, but there was a guy, Trooper Ryan Code, who was on the undercover team, and in May 2021, he was put to watch, you know, Patrick. And for days and days he did, and Patrick was a smoker. So they were like, well, that's easy, right? So yep. They're watching him. They're driving. They see him flick a butt out of his truck window. They pull over. They grab it. They send it into the lab, and it's not a freaking match. And so they were like, wait, what? This does not make sense. Trooper Coates like, I must have grabbed the wrong cigarette.
Yeah.
Let me go again. Let's try this one more time. So this time he sees Patrick pulling into a laundromat, and he was like, okay, let's do this. So Trooper went next door, bought a pack of cigarettes for himself, and sat on the curb smoking cigarettes, hoping that Patrick would come out and want to smoke too.
I like it.
And he did.
And it's a good excuse to have a ciggy.
Well, Patrick's not a smoker. I mean, Trooper Code's not a smoker. But
neither am I.
But you would. Yeah. Just for this. I would too, actually.
I love the smell.
Yeah. I only like the smell of right when it's lit. Like the second it's lit, I like that smell. But then after that, I hate it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it panned out. Patrick came out, plopped down on the curb, a few feet away. They had a smoke together. Trooper Code also struck up a conversation about sports with Patrick. And when he was done, he tossed the cigarette out and Trooper Code was like, okay, I know it's here. Put on his gloves, picked it up, brought it to test. And guess what?
Was it a match?
It's a match.
Oh, good.
So they brought Patrick Gillum in for questioning. They told him they needed to talk to him about an old case regarding someone named Roxanne. Patrick said he only knew two Roxannes. One was a stripper and one was a drug addict. They showed him a picture of Roxanne Wood, but Patrick said he had never seen her before. They took out a second picture and showed it to Patrick, but he said, nope, don't know who that is. The detective sitting across from him told Patrick that they were there to talk about a woman, Roxanne, that he assaulted. And he was like, it's too much, man. This is too much for me. Detectives watched his body pretty much tense up. And he said, I got to talk to my attorney. Which also you would say is a good thing to do.
Well, especially when they're pointing DNA evidence. Well, yeah, I mean you're pretty fuzzed. Yeah.
Yeah, you pretty much are. Patrick Gillum was formally arrested in February 2022, just days before the 35th anniversary of Roxanne Wood murder. They went to notify the family. They were like, "We got him," which I cannot imagine. Like, that is so amazing. They also were there to tell Terry that, like, his cloud of doubt was over, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when detectives told Terry, he was super emotional and shocked, and he cried. Patrick Gillum was questioned for 5.5 hours at the South Bend police station. He did talk circles. He said, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. If I did it, I did it. You're saying that I did it. And then he said, I'm a monster, man. If I did this something like this, I'm a monster. That's a monster.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know. Maybe he was on drugs.
No, that sounds like OJ. Like, you know how OJ, when they question him in his the civil deposition,
yeah,
they would say, show him pictures of Nicole after she had been beaten. And he would say, I take responsibility for however that. But he wouldn't answer the question like, did you hit her?
You
like,
we
need to hear you say you physically did this. And he would just say, I take responsibility, whether she fell down the stairs or whatever. I was there. So I take responsibility. Oh, he kept saying that over and over and over again. It's like, they say these things that it's just, it's tricky.
Yeah.
But don't let it distract you.
Yeah.
You're still guilty.
The detective just said, yes, only a monster would do this. As they pressed him for confession, he just went to the selective amnesia defense again, the same one that he had with Maureen, right? The detectives asked him how he thought his DNA ended up at the scene. And Patrick said, I have no clue, man. I don't remember. And that's when he was like, I just need a lawyer. Patrick was charged with Roxanne's murder. And at the trial, he pled no contest to second degree murder. Janet Wood spoke at his sentencing. And according to her brother, Brad, Patrick was shook when she stood up to speak. Janet looked just like Roxanne. She read her victim impact speech that included, his actions gave us all a life sentence while he got to live as a free man. And we are here today to see him finally pay something for what he's done, which is likely the rest of his life in a cage like a violent animal that he is. Brad's statement was something like this. It seems like people like him find Jesus in prison, but don't bother looking because the devil will be the only one greeting you. Like that. Mm-hmm. Patrick was given a chance to speak also, which he did take. And he said, I can't believe I did what I did. And I pray for them every night. I am sorry. I just hope that sometime in the future, with God's help, that they can start to forgive me. The judge handed down a sentence with a minimum of 23 years in prison. And Patrick will be eligible for parole in 2040 if he's on his best behavior, which would make him 86 years old. So the chances are pretty slim that he's going to be getting out of prison. He's currently incarcerated in the Carson City Correctional Facility in Carson City, Michigan. And as far as Terry goes, I was able to find him And it does look like he found love again after Roxanne. But unfortunately, I think just months ago, his love passed on. So he's kind of in a slump at the moment of love. But I wish everyone in Roxanne's case peace.
Yeah.
And great. That's fine. 35 years, they finally solved it, which is amazing. I wish that they do this for more people where they, like, I think all these colleges that have criminal justice departments could probably help a lot. And they're really smart. Kids are really smart these days.
Kids are really smart and it's great, but I understand that point of view where they're like, we have there's actual things happening today. So we've got to, you know, they probably just don't have enough resources, enough people.
Well, police don't have enough resources. So let it, like, give it to somebody else that's like willing to just kind of do the work, you know? But anyways, that's that case for today. If you guys haven't checked out our skincare line, we are doing discount right now of 25% at Five Crimes. That's fivecrimes.com/ Use the code CLINK and check out. It's really amazing. Everybody that has used it, if you guys go onto our Facebook group page, it's called Housewives of True Crime Group, you will see our besties in there. They've all tried it and they love it. They give us rave reviews, which I totally appreciate. Thank you so much for loving our stuff and giving honest reviews for it. Also, what else, Scratchy? If you can review us on Apple, that would be amazing. If you can tell your friends, we would love to grow. We are 100% organic podcast. So we do not, you know, we're not advertising to the masses. You know, we're here.
Share the love, people. That's all we ask. Share the love.
Yeah. If you love us, your friends will love us and we will love you for sharing us with them because that's how we're growing. And we just asked you guys to be part of our team of growth. So that would be so amazing if you did. And we are on Patreon or Clink Clink Club. That's on Thursdays. People actually loved our episode last week. We basically just did the TMZ Daily Mail recap of what's gossipy in the news today, which, I mean, there's so much stuff, you guys. There's so much even this week that we're going to talk about. So
it don't quit.
It don't quit.
So I'm glad people find what I find fascinating, which is just
who doesn't,
how
who
people
doesn't?
Can spend so much effing money on Kanye's bunker in Malibu, J-Lo's engagement ring collection.
I love J-Lo's engagement ring collection. Like, what the heck is she going to do with all those diamonds, man?
By Kanye's bunker. I told you, she's one engagement away from being able to buy waterfront property
in Malibu. Okay. I give her 1 year to be engaged again.
I know. You know what I just thought? You know how she always is like, she's the my love don't cost a thing. Yes, it does.
It costs a lot.
It costs $17 million.
It costs a lot. And you know, we also heard, I've heard through many years that J-Lo actually costs a lot. Like, she needs her sheets to be a certain way at the hotels, and you know, it's a situation.
Mm-hmm. But she looks like that.
That's
cheap.
It's so true, man. If you can look like J-Lo at J-Lo's age,
work it,
she's
J-Lo.
Doing something right.
She's doing something. Yeah, she
is. She's not drinking, by the way.
That's where she loses me usually. Yeah.
So that probably will save your face a few years at least. Okay. Anyhow, I hope you all have a great week. We'll see you on Thursday. If you guys are on our Clink Clink Club or Patreon, which I hope you are, it's you know, less than a cup of coffee for 1 month. So do it.
Okay.
Clink Clink.
Clink Clink.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.